I think about just in a natural sense sometimes. Well, let me backtrack. This thought is in terms of listening to his voice. This is an appeal to the sinner. It's an appeal to the saint. And you know, it's also a special appeal to the children and the young people as well. And the reason why it is so important is the earlier you learn to listen to his voice, the better it's going to be for you. So, you know, I think back to my life, and, you know, I'm sure as a child, there are some things that I did that I didn't have to do. Some things maybe that I could have avoided if I had just listened to his voice at a younger age. I'm thankful that God in his love and his mercy extended to me that I began to listen when I did. But, you know, it's so critically important the younger you are to begin to listen to the voice of the Lord. You know, sometimes in natural things, you ever been a part of something maybe where maybe it was sports or maybe a game where they were picking teams and maybe there are some captains? And in situations like that, you want your name to be called, right? You want to be maybe the first pick or the second pick, or you don't want to be the one that's last. Well, you're the last one. I'll tick you, I guess. You know, in those kind of instances, you want your name to be called. I think about in sports, they have drafts for all of these leagues, right? And these athletes that have put their, dedicated their life to whatever sport they're involved in, when it comes for draft night, they want their name to be called out. There are sometimes maybe in life that you don't want to hear your name called. I remember maybe being maybe in school, and maybe the teacher is trying to ask for volunteers for maybe a question or a problem that's on the board, and maybe you're not 100% sure that you have the answer right, so you're sitting in your seat saying, "Don't pick me! Don't call my name!" But then there's times when the teacher might call your name. So there's times maybe when you want your name to be called, and there's times when you say, "Don't pick me." When it comes to Almighty God, you want him to call on you. You want him to call your name. You want him to be, you want to be listening to his voice. Thinking about God has been calling on mankind since the creation of time. Since he created man. And I have several scriptures this morning. I desire your prayers that I'd be able to present this so it's not too lengthy for you. But the beginning scriptures is laying a foundation for God calling after man. And it started with Adam and Eve. When they were in the garden after they had sinned, God called on them, didn't he? In Genesis, the 3rd chapter, and in the 9th verse. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day.
And Adam and his wife
hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God
amongst the trees of the garden.
And go ahead and read 9 as well.
The Lord God called unto Adam,
said unto him, "Where are you?" See, that's one of these times God was calling for him, something that he did on a regular basis. He's saying, they heard it, and then, you know, this is an instance where they knew, maybe it seemed like the scripture kind of alludes to there was a particular time that God called out to them, maybe that he came and visited with them and had communications with them. And no doubt it was wonderful. It was a wonderful experience. But at this particular time, they knew something wasn't right. So
So when God, they knew, uh-oh, here he comes now. He's calling. I'm going to go and hide. Like you can hide from the Almighty God. We can't hide. But you know, the thing is, this God, he, you know, there was a concern for them, right? In his care and his love and his mercy for them. What happened? So, you know, in this instance, where are you? I need to talk to you. So it started way back here with Adam and Eve. And then if we fast forward a little bit, remember when God called upon Moses to give him the Ten Commandments? Let's be reminded of that this morning. That's found in Exodus, the 19th chapter, starting at verse 18 and reading through verse 20. Exodus 19, 18 through 20.
And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke.
Because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace.
And the whole mount quaked greatly.
And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long,
and waxed louder and louder,
Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice.
And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai,
on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount,
and Moses went up.
So here God had, in this situation, he made some things to take place to get Moses' attention. Think about all these things that took place. You could imagine those that were looking on, seeing all this. Saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the... No, I'm reading the wrong verse. What was it? The smoke, right? The smoke and the fire. You know, what's going on up there? Something's happening here. So we got smoke and fire, and then a quake, and the mountains start shaking. And the mountains shaking, and then here's the voice of a trumpet sounding loud, and it's getting louder and louder. And Moses responds to that. What's going on? And then God spoke to him. And he called him up into that mountain. And you know what took place up in that mountain? That's where God gave him the Ten Commandments. Right there in that place. So God listening. Moses was there listening. He had an attentive ear to his voice. And God had some instruction, not only for him, but for all the children of Israel. There's another familiar one that we talk about from time to time. Remember Samuel? He was a child. He was a child. And God was calling him. Y'all know the story. Let's go there briefly here this morning. Again, I'm laying the foundation for something of why it's critical for us to be listening to his voice. This account is found in 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter, and we'll be reading verse 4 through 10.
Now the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I."
Amen.
He ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I."
Yes.
"For thou callest me."
Yes. Yes.
And the Lord called yet again Samuel, and Samuel arose, and he went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not my son,
Yes.
Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time.
Amen.
And he arose and he went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, as he called thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.
Yes.
So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times.
Yes.
Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth.
You all know the story of Samuel. Samuel was a child that was given by God, that his mother dedicated to the service of God. He was there in the temple there with Eli, right? And here he's hearing somebody calling him, and he's thinking it's Eli. You know, and we as we just read the account, 1, 2, 3, four times, right? And then that third time, Eli began to ponder, and he's like, wait a minute, I know what's going on here. See, Eli was the man of God, right? So he let little Samuel know, I know what's going on here. See, this is a voice that you need to begin to get familiar with, listening for. You know, that's God calling you now. When you hear him call you, say, Speak, Lord, thy servant hears. You know, and if you read through this account, you know what God told Samuel? God told Samuel about some judgment that was coming to Eli's house. And you know the story, but the point being about listening to his voice. And here's, we're creating how this has happened over time, starting from the beginning of time. And here, in this instance, a little child listening to the voice of God. Let's fast forward to Elijah. I remember when Elijah felt like he was all by himself. This account is in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. God came and spoke to Elijah, had a message for him. 1 Kings 19, verse 11 through 13.
And he said,
Go forth.
Stand upon the mount of the Lord.
And behold,
the Lord passed by.
And a great and strong wind rent the mountains. He break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. The Lord, he wasn't in the wind.
After the wind, an earthquake.
But the Lord wasn't in the earthquake.
And after the earthquake, a fire.
But God wasn't in the fire.
And after the fire, a still small voice.
And it was so. When Elijah heard it. He wrapped his face in his mantle. He went out,
stood
in the entering in of the cave.
And behold,
there came a voice upon him
and said,
What doest thou here, Elijah? If you continue to read, so Elijah went in the cave, and that's when they began to have the dialogue. When Elijah said, I'm here all alone. There's nobody left. I'm the only one that's still serving God. And God said, Oh, Elijah, you don't know. I got 7,000 that haven't bowed down.
Amen.
But you know, in this instance, God came in a still, small voice. You know, it's kind of a different, right? When he spoke to Moses, we think about all the flash that was created with the fire and the smoke. But here in this instance, There was all the great wind, and there was an earthquake, and all these things that happened. And maybe Elijah was listening. Well, that took place. Oh, still, But then after all that, he came with a still, small voice.
Yes.
You know, what that it lets us know is sometimes we got to get quiet.
Yes.
And we got to listen. We got to ignore maybe the noise, right, that's going on around us to be able to hear God's voice.
Yes.
You know, this continued on until when Jesus came. There was a time when God made himself known to, you know, think about this. Really, you know, we talk about the Trinity, right? So Jesus was God's son here on the earth, right? So he was speaking as God on the earth. But there was some, you know, he wanted to remove all doubt and confusion from the disciples. So there's something that took place in the 17th chapter of Matthew. And the fifth verse. You know, you think about that. God, this had been prophesied, right? Was prophesied from the Old Testament. So those that knew about that, they knew that there was a Messiah coming that was going to save his people from their sins. So that this had all taken place. But there was yet maybe still some doubt about, is he really the one? Is this Jesus, the Son of God? So God took away all doubt. What does it say there in Matthew, the 17th chapter and the 5th verse?
While he yet spake,
behold,
a bright cloud overshadowed them.
And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said,
"This is my beloved Son,
in whom I am well pleased,
hear ye him.
And in that 6th verse, it says that when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and they were sore afraid. So again, in this situation, all doubt was removed. If you had any disciples following after Jesus, if they had any doubt whatsoever, God spoke from heaven and said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." So God, talking to his creation, started with Adam and Eve, went all the way down through when his Son came down and lived on the earth. And you know, when he left, he sent his Spirit, didn't he? And you know, and God's Spirit is still speaking to us today. He's still speaking to us today. You know, sometimes, you know, if he so desires, he can use an audible voice if he wants to. But you know, there's other ways. He speaks through his word. Through the word of God. Through inspired songs that are based on his word. And through the Holy Ghost that he's put in his creation. Those that endeavor to bring forth the word of God that are anointed by the Holy Ghost are speaking on his behalf. So he's still speaking today. You never think about somebody when you're trying to tell them something and they do like this? What does that tell you? They don't want to hear it. Whatever you're saying, it doesn't matter. I don't want to hear it. Do people do God like that? God begins to speak and they cover their ears. You know that song, you know, this is, I'm going to make a parallel here. In a natural sense, covering our ears, right, we're saying, "I don't want to hear anything that you have to say." So spiritually, when we close our hearts to the things of God, we're saying, "I don't want to hear it." And that's something that each and every one of us has to do. We have to decide within ourselves, when God speaks, if I want to listen. And I'm listening if I'm opening my heart to what God's word has to say. If I say, you know, that don't apply to me, then this is what I'm doing to God. You know, God's word. So we endeavored to lay a foundation. So we've established God has been speaking to mankind since man was created and has gone all through time. We just pulled some examples. There's many, many more that we can read in God's word about God speaking to mankind. And he's yet speaking still today through his word. So there's some instruction that he's given us to in his word of how we ought to respond to it. And it's clear and it's sound and it's simple for all of us to understand. And it's something that is repeated multiple times in the word of God. It starts in the Old Testament and then it's mentioned several times in the New Testament. Let's go to Psalms 95. We're going to read verse 7 and verse 8.
For he is our God.
For he is our God.
And we are the people of
his, we are the people of his pasture.
And the sheep of his hand.
And the sheep of his hand.
Today,
if ye will hear his voice. Pause there for a moment. So there's here, and David is laying something out for us, helping us to recognize who we are. We're his creation. We're the sheep of his pasture, right? So here he has some instruction now. Today, if you hear his voice, what is it followed with?
Harden not your heart.
So as God is speaking, as God is revealing himself to each and every one of us, the admonition for us is to listen and don't harden our heart. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart. You know, today, right? We have today, right? All of us have today. We live in the moment. Today is, right? We have it. We have life and we have breath today. Is tomorrow ours?
No.
I know it's life and it's something all of us do. We plan ahead and there's nothing wrong with that. But there's one thing that there's something that you should not plan ahead for, and that's your soul. Don't plan ahead for tomorrow or next week or next year. All you have is today. So it said, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. God calls today. Is there a guarantee that he's going to call tomorrow? I thank God for his mercy. Going back to how I started at the beginning, God gave the thought. He let me know that day. And I didn't put it down.
Yeah.
I'm thankful, Lord, that you called another day. And you let me know. You brought it back to my mind.
Yeah.
There's something here. Help me, Lord.
Yeah.
Help me to get it this time. Because he's done that before. Lord, help me.
Yeah.
Every time to stop whatever it is and get it down.
Yeah.
That's the admonition for me. When I hear his voice, respond to it.
Amen.
Don't push it aside because he might not call again. So this is something that was established in the Old Testament. Now let's go forward to Hebrews, the 3rd chapter and the 7th and the 8th verse. Tell me if this sounds familiar.
Wherefore,
as the Holy Ghost said,
today,
if you will hear his voice,
harden not your hearts.
Now, this one has some extra emphasis to it now. Okay? Oh, well, the first one, that was in the Old Testament, and David was speaking, and we know that God inspired writers, right, to write what we have written in the Word of God. So we already know that it was inspired by God. But if there was any doubt now, this is a reassurance now. It says here, as the Holy Ghost saith. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, God Almighty, His Spirit in the earth today is reminding us, when you hear His voice, harden not your heart. When you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Lest, the writer says, we should come up short. The words strongly imply the possibility for us to fall away from grace. Yeah. So in other words, when we think about God's voice and His dealings with us and His speaking to us, He speaks to us constantly, right? And it's something that I must always be attentive to, and I can never decide, well, today I'm going to push it aside. Because the admonition, the reminder, the encouragement for us is, I always have to listen, because there's a chance that if I don't listen, it could start leading me in a direction that takes me away from God. So it's something that we have to preserve in listening to and listening for His voice. Because if I lose that sensitivity, if there's something that I don't keep in high regard and high importance, then there's a chance that I could drift away from Him. So in other words, just because I heard His voice the first time, that doesn't mean I'm good forever. I got to keep listening and responding to Him. What do you say when within the same book of the Bible, a verse is repeated? What do you think that means? That is kind of important, right? So we was reading in Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. Now let's go to the 4th chapter and the 7th verse. And let's see what that says. And tell me if this sounds familiar.
Today, if you will hear His voice,
harden not your hearts. If you would hear it. The Amplified says, if you would hear it, do not harden your heart. Pay attention to it. How do I respond to it? Is it something that I push aside, or is it something that I welcome? When you hear His voice, harden not your heart. So the opposite of hardening your heart is responding to it, right? I'm going to accept it. I'm listening with both ears, right? You know, there are some times when we can listen with one ear. You know, the tendency is, if you listen with one ear, well, there's a probability that it's probably just going to go out the other one. But when you listen with both ears, right, then you can really take it in. And when we listen to God, listen to His voice with an open heart, that's when we receive what He has for us.
Amen.
You know, His voice is distinguishable. It's noteworthy. It's remarkable in His dealings and His workings with us. And you know, if we are one of His, then we'll recognize His voice.
Amen.
It says, there's a passage in John, the 10th chapter, starting at verse 22 and reading down through verse 28. Jesus here having a conversation with His disciples. And not only his disciples, but there was others that was around in this situation. There was some confusion again. You know, even after all these things, you know, the disciples experienced God speaking out of heaven. So they had no reason to doubt. But Lord, there was still some, maybe they weren't there at that time, but there was some that still had a question in their minds. Are you really the Son of God? Are you real? I'm sure after everything they had seen, miracle after miracle, there was still some that had doubts. But this is the instruction that he gave to those that were with him at this time. John 10, verse 22. Read down through verse 28, please.
And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple and saw his court. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? As thou be the Christ, tell us plainly.
All right, let's pause here for a moment. I mean, well, there's an expression about, I don't even know where this came from, but they say the proof is in the pudding. I mean, observe, pay attention. Have you been taking notice of things that's been going on? I mean, what he said he was the Son of God. I mean, what else do you want him to say? They're saying, well, just make it plain. And then in his mind, no doubt, Jesus is saying, how much plainer do you want me to make it? Do you have eyes? You see? But what did he say? He said, I told you. You said, make it plain. I told you. And you didn't believe me. What am I supposed to do?
The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me.
The proof is there. I do it in the name of my Father, and they bear witness of who I am.
But you believe not.
But you chose not to believe.
Because ye are not of my sheep.
Because you're not one of mine.
My sheep,
they hear my voice.
And I know them.
I know them.
And they follow me.
They follow me.
And I give unto them eternal life.
And they shall never perish.
Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand.
Neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. So, this is how I know. Am I listening to him? I recognize his voice. It says here, I hear my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. There's some action behind it. See? Me listening to his voice. But then what do I do with it? How do I respond to it? If I follow what he is saying, then I know there's a reward for me now, see? I give unto thee eternal life. That's what we want, right? So I have to listen to his voice. I have to follow him. Then I get the reward. There's a song we used to sing growing up. And it describes how we should be. The title of it is I'll Be Somewhere Listening. It says, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. So in other words, I got both ears open, my heart is open, and I'm saying, Lord, what do you have for me? You have something for me? I'm listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. When the Savior calls, I'm going to answer. You know, all of us have these, don't we? And all we get calls all the time, don't we? Do you know that you have a choice? You don't always have to answer, do you? You know, now they have it where they don't warn you if it's a telemarketer, right? So you can choose to ignore it. But when the Savior calls, when he's knocking on my heart, wanting me to draw closer to him, I'm going to answer that call. When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. The second verse says, if my heart is right when he calls me, if my heart is right when he calls me, if my heart is right, I'm going to hear. If my heart is right when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name.
Yes.
If my robe is white when he calls me, if my robe is white, I will hear. If my robe is right when he white when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Those that don't have a relationship with God, listen and respond.
Yes.
You know, he's making an appeal. He's calling. He's entreating. He's pleading with you in his love and in his mercy. And my encouragement to you today, if you don't have a relationship with him and you don't hear him calling, ask him to call you. We sing a song that says, pass me not, O gentle Savior. When you're calling on others, don't pass me by. If he's not calling on you, beg him to.
Yeah.
To the Christian, keep listening. Not only listen, but respond to him. We have to respond to him. I have to remain tender to his call.
Amen.
And you know, one thing that is misunderstood, well, I don't respond. See, that's kind of a middle ground. No, it's not. Not responding is a response.
Right.
You can either get closer or you get further away. And you tell me what would happen if you don't respond. Well, some might say, well, how do I know? How do I know when he's calling me? When he's talking to me? You know, I think about Sister Kim. She always had a real good explanation of what God, conviction of God's dealings. And I tried to remember some of those things that she mentioned. You know, when you recognize that you need help, that's God calling.
Yes.
If you realize, you know what? There's something about me. There's something within me. There's something that I'm facing that I can't handle. That's a call from God.
Right.
When you have a troubled, heavy heart, an uneasy feeling, that's God speaking to you. When you have a sense of unrest, that's God. A feeling of something missing. There's just something missing. That's God calling. There's an aching feeling inside. God is trying to get your attention. My encouragement this morning, in the day that you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Stay attentive to it. Don't push it aside. Respond to it. Respond in a way that is acceptable to him. Think about, we have a meeting coming. Why do we have meetings? To revive us, right?
Yes.
To keep us inspired and encouraged. So when the word of God comes across, listen. If he's talking to you, respond.
Yes.
In the day that you hear his voice, harden not your heart.
Yes.
I desire your prayers. I'm not exempt. I need to respond too. Help me, Lord. I don't want to be in the place where you have to remind me of something that you already put on my mind. Help me, Lord. I desire your prayers. I appreciate your time and your attention this morning.